Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Spirit to be in us with grace, and we also pray for the material prosperity to do your good will in the coming days. And in Jesus' name, amen. Today, let's look at some current events and issues, maybe money and international situations, and maybe just a little bit about the rapture or the signs in the heavens. Those are going on too. Well, let's remember that God has a plan for our life, and it includes love and hope, and for us to receive it and to give it, all while loving God and loving your neighbor. And there are things we struggle with. We struggle with sin, and I've heard it said that sin is that which is not of God. You see, we are called on to be holy, and how do we do that? By completely inviting Jesus Christ to live in us. Our desire is for Jesus Christ to be so thoroughly living in us that there is no room for sin or a pathway to hell. Nope. So, let's look at the current world. Let's see what's going around us. Lots is. Typically, we see events as the world presents them, and that's what you would call a worldly point of view. But with practice, we can see things from a spiritual point of view, a godly point of view, a biblical point of view. With this, we can see that there is historical history to recognize that the Bible is correct, and because of faith, we can see also that it is correct. We confirm it. The Bible shows itself to be practical. For instance, with Bible prophecy being fulfilled 2,000 years ago, there were predictions that Christ would be born in Jerusalem, he would come out of Egypt, and he would be a Nazarene. Now, for people of that day, these prophecies were just completely impossible. No way could they happen. And even today, prophecies like that would be most unlikely. But in that day, travel was less common. And today it is quite common. But in those days, the prophecies that were given just seemed too impossible to be true. But they were true. Those prophecies were completely true. So in these days, I apply this concept to my thinking, and I ask myself if what I hear could possibly be true, if it's true and lines up with a biblical point of view. Things I don't necessarily believe, but I remember things, and I try to put them together. Even unusual concepts, I ask myself, could this be true? And there's lots of things to ponder, lots of things to wonder about. And one of them is the sign in the heavens. What is coming to pass this very day? Today! There are people who see the event of Revelation 12, 1 and 2, that sign in the heavens as appearing this very day. I ponder it, I wonder about it, and I can sure see the argument. More than a few people these days believe that it is the sign in the night sky which we see. And there are even people who see this sign as it being the rapture. They are expecting to be raptured before the day is done. Now, there's plenty of people who see it different. Some people don't even look. Some of the people say, oh no, not all the signs of Revelation 12, 1 and 2 are going to happen, because it's just not quite precisely aligned enough. And, well, they have a point of view too. They have a good point of view. Both points of view are good, but we still get to figure out what it is that we're looking at. Is this an indicator or an event? Well, I do think it's an indicator, and probably not an event, but I know I could be wrong, and we will see what happens very shortly. Ha! Even this day! Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see these things. Whatever we think, though, it's always a good idea to consider, what does it mean to meet our Maker? It's a good thought. It's a good thing to think about. Always, because surprises in life do happen. And we do want that security of our strong relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's the most important part of our future. It's our spiritual, our eternal life. And yet, everybody doesn't always think about that. They think about the future in material ways, in the short term. And they think about, can I pay my bills this month? Will I have a job next year? And how long will Social Security last? You know, there's quite a few people who see that kind of trouble coming up, financial. Well, will my Medi-Cal be in effect? Will my CalPERS still be there? My pension or welfare payment, whatever it is, will I still have a job? All these things people are asking themselves, how can the system support me? Or how can I support myself? Where can I work to get payment to buy the things that I need? All these concerns, these day-to-day concerns, are on people's minds because they can see the uncertainty in the future. They can see surprises coming. And these days, a lot of people are having a trouble. I've heard that, 40% of the people, I think, could not pay a $300 bill if it came up right away. They would need to have 20 to 30 days to line up the money to pay for that $300 expense. So a lot of people are just having a hard time getting by. Today there's tens of millions of Americans who would like a job, and they cannot find one. They're out of work. The economy is not thriving. A part of that is that people are not spending either because of the uncertainty they feel. And being so many of us live on credit instead of actual money and savings, we have a problem with the credit economy too. All across our country, we see the economy slowing down. We see the earnings of companies are not what they used to be. Not for individuals, not for corporations either. And yet, over the last 3 years, even with no growth in corporate earnings, we've seen the stock markets increase. In particular, the S&P Standard & Poor's 500 stocks, they have grown by 33%. Now, how can this happen? How can the stock market go up 33% in 3 years? It doesn't make practical sense. It doesn't make economic sense. and yet it happened. Why? The stock market has existed for 100 years, or really longer, but we think of it in shorter terms. And our stock market indicates the economic health of our nation. It's not that it is the health, it's just an indicator. But in these days, we see the top economic people are looking at our nation and wondering about its health. The reason that a lot of people are saying that the stock market continually goes up is because our central bank, which is called the Federal Reserve, has for the last 10 years been heavily buying stocks. And what this has done is increased the stock prices. It has inflated our economy to make it look healthy. And a growing number of many big money investors and big financial advisors are recognizing this fundamental instability. And they're warning us about it, and they're moving money out of the United States. It's a big concern. And then on top of this, there was a statement recently, about 10 days ago, a week ago, that the Federal Reserve Chairman, Janet Yellen, said the Fed, that is to say the Federal Reserve, would begin to normalize its balance sheet this year. And what that means was that they would be selling the stocks that it holds. You know, surely not all at one time, but it would be spread out a little bit. Still, the thing is that they would begin selling the stocks they hold. And that means that there's no longer a large entity to hold the stock prices up. That means the stock market could fall, and it's an indicator of how our economy is doing. So some people see this as the beginning of an international stock market crash. Well, I don't know, but I sure look. To me, these are fun things to look at, and maybe for you too, but it's the awareness that these things are going on so that we can see this economy has instability. People, for other reasons, see the instability in our economy. Some people see a crash even. And why do they see this? They see it because of debt, derivatives, and the petrodollar. Our debt just keeps growing as a nation all over the place. I know that these things like debt, derivatives, and the petrodollar are not well understood. It's kind of like speaking Greek, because it's not in our normal vocabulary. But for the financial people, they know what it means, and they know how to plan for such an event. Well, you know what debt is anyway. Debt is when we owe money, and it means that we can't build up our savings. And that means we can't pay for unexpected expenses because we've already spent our future income. That's what debt does. And derivatives. Derivatives are when a piece of paper that promises to pay for something gets its value not from anything real, not from anything that exists, but because of the promise to pay. It's derived from something real. That's what a derivative is. And yeah, it sounds pretty crazy. And I remember one researcher found out that, speaking of derivatives and the way things can actually happen, is a real thing, something like gold. Gold, an ounce of gold? Well, that researcher found out that for every 1 ounce of gold, there are 530 ounces of paper gold, gold that's in a contract to buy. And of course, nobody can deliver that gold because it's all on paper. And that's the heart of what a derivative is. It's a promise. a promise to pay or to deliver something. And that's one of the problems with our economy, too. It shows that it's all rooted in paper agreements and not in the real, actual products. So debt, derivatives, and the petrodollar. And what is the petrodollar? It's based in an agreement that was made in 1971 that all oil sales would be made in United States dollars. That was an international agreement, and it was enforced because we had such a strong presence economically and militarily in the world. So every country that wanted to buy or sell oil, they had to make that transaction in dollars. And often enough, the countries had to have pallet loads of United States dollars, like $100 bills, to guarantee that payment, that it could be made in United States dollars. So there's pallet loads of $100 bills in different countries of the world. And that is so that they can guarantee that they could pay for the oil. Well, a couple of years ago, there was financial movements, international agreements, trade agreements, and they were made so that there was a process that was going to start. The process was to move the payments for oil out of the United States dollar, and it would have been into a basket of currencies. It included the dollar, but it included other currencies as well. Well, the effects are beginning to hurt us, and the United States dollar is weakening for that reasons. And we know that there are changes that are going to happen. We don't know quite when, and we don't know quite how. But with the transactions not being in dollars, it means another basket of currencies can be used. And that's what the agreements are about. When there gets to be a sufficient volume of other countries' economies, they get to be included in that basket of dollars. I mean, basket of currency. And so the United States dollar will not be the dominant or the dominant currency. Other ones will be allowed. That means we can look and see the trend. The trend is that fewer and fewer United States dollars will be needed to guarantee those petroleum transactions. And so what happens to those extra United States dollars? Well, they will be sent back to the United States. And many people are expecting the excess supply of United States dollars to cause inflation in the United States. See, there's a principle at work here, which is the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And so if we have more and more dollars in this country, their value decreases. Now, we've already had one situation between 2008 and 2006, well, 17, and where there were so many more dollars printed. 4 times more U.S. dollars were in existence than now. So the United States dollar is inflating, and it means that it will have less value. And a part of that means that fewer and fewer countries want to trade goods for dollars. Of course they will, because we still buy things from all over the world. It's just getting less desirable for the other countries to do transactions in dollars. So it's something that's coming. It's not here, but we should look at the direction and realize that even though it's not an overnight event, it is something that eventually will have a significant impact on our country. So another direction that we can consider is that we have allowed foreign interests, like foreign citizens, foreign businesses, and even businesses that are owned by a foreign government or a foreign military, like China, to buy land in the United States, to buy businesses in the United States, and to buy natural resources. One day, this could become a problem. We don't know when, we don't know how, we don't know if, but the trend is there, and it certainly is a problem for other countries to own significant natural resources, businesses, or real estate in our country. That's another thing that's going on. Yep, so a person interested in history is going to wonder, what direction is our country going? And it's pretty clear that there are problems in our country. There's also prophecy that says the interests will be difficult, that we will have troubles. And what they are now, we can only guess at what they are, but it is a part of why I talk about preparedness also, so that we can show our love for our neighbor, get along in the society and survive, and be nice to people. Well, all that is what we can be thinking about. I know there's also plenty of Christians who feel like, oh, troubles are coming, and so the rapture is going to come because we're not going to see God's wrath. Well, what about consequences? I surely don't know the answers to these things, but I have ideas and I have indicators, and so do you. So we all get to make our own decisions, and we all get consequences from our actions and our decisions. So you just keep thinking about it, and I will too, so we'll talk about it. So as a part of all these things going on, we see the consequences of things happening to individuals and to our nation. It's a normal part of what happens in life. Not only that we have a consequence of what we have, nations that are striving with each other to become dominant. So there's lots of possibilities of things going on. And the biggest thing we can do is to remember to walk in God's righteousness from this day forward, always. To see that even there is a revival in the land. We want God's will to be done, and that's God's goodwill. He wants the best for us. But we do also have to deal with the consequences of our actions. I know these days in society we see lots of changes from what it was 20 or 50 years ago. A lot of people notice that there is a culture of death going on. That's what it's called sometimes. You see, we notice that there's skulls on lots of people's clothes or cars. We see there's zombie themes that are becoming very, very popular. They've always been around, but they just become more and more popular. Does that mean our society is changing? Yeah, I think so. It seems to be losing some of the sympathy and some of the compassion that has existed for our fellow human beings. We are moving towards sympathy, sort of, but it's not towards human. It's sympathy towards animals and protecting animals, which is right and proper, too. It's just that you don't want to neglect the human sympathy and the human compassion. In a way, we've seen a challenge going on as we've seen two world wars. That is, in the last 100 years, we've seen two world wars. Together, China and Russia have also killed its own people. They have had campaigns which encouraged or allowed the death of well over 100 million of its own people. Why? Because of the ideological differences. They thought different from the ruling people. So this has gone on in the world for all time, and it probably is going to continue at a good pace. Like I said, we could see the example with those two large countries, China and Russia. We've seen it happen in Pol Pot's Cambodia, where there was 1.5 million people killed out of a population of 8 million. We saw it in Idi Amin's Uganda. 500,000 people were killed out of 12 million. We can see it when there was a conflict between the Tutsis and the Hutus in 1994, Rwanda. That was a shock to the world because in 100 days, there was a death toll of about 880 million people. That's nearly a million people killed out of a population of about 7 million. And what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened. There was outcry all over the world. But did any country step in? No. Did the United Nations step in? No. No country went there to stop it. And all the world leaders did was to talk and complain. And they didn't do anything, though. In 100 days, nearly a million people were killed in Rwanda. What a situation. 1994. I have a story about that, too. A few years ago, we met a lady from Africa. She was from Rwanda, and she was visiting this country for almost 2 years. And so with what she was doing in a business way, we thought, wouldn't it be nice if she could come and see what an American home was like, what it was just like. Come and see our home. We invited her. Come see what our teenage children were like. So we invited her into our home, and we asked her to tell her story about when she lived in her homeland of Rwanda. And she did. At that time, she was a child. She was 11. And she had a nice, intact family. She had a brother who was 8 who she saved his life. Well, suddenly one day, neighbors and mostly out-of-town strangers, they just went crazy for a week or more. They just went crazy, she said. And during those days, in her neighborhood, she heard many screams and saw many people that had died. They were hacked to death. So once, when it got really, really bad, she took her little brother. Like I said, she was 11 and her little brother was 8. And they went and they hid for 4 days and 3 nights under fallen banana tree leaves in the nearby fields. And she hid and she stayed hidden, even though people that she did not recognize were calling her name. When finally she did return those 4 days later, she found her father and most of her family had been killed with knives and machetes. She said her mother, after losing her husband and most of her children, she never really recovered even to that day. It was just too devastating for her to have lost her husband and most of her children. So this lady was temporarily in our country. It was, like I said, for 2 years. And she had a chance to tell her story. I thought it was kind of interesting that she thanked us for both inviting her into our home and because she got a chance to tell her story. And she said it was therapeutic to tell her story, that she had not had a chance to tell it since she had been in the United States. And I thought, how interesting. Here she was in the United States for almost 2 years, and nobody asked her, and nobody made it a friendship gesture to bring her into their home. She couldn't tell her story. People didn't care for 2 years, almost. What a story. Well, that was also did have an element of religious conflict in it. She said that it seemed to her that the Christians had been targeted. She was a Christian. And it just, what an experience to have gone through. I was glad that we had the chance to be that for her and for us to learn a little bit too. There have been lots of, well, let's call them exterminations in the last 100 years. And one of the characteristics of them is that they just tend to be Christians that are targeted. It's just the way it seems to have worked. Yeah, we want to be aware and we want to remember to show love. But it was a horrible event, and could something like that happen in this country? Well, we say, oh no, of course it would never happen in our country. But I think actually it could. Our country is becoming very divided. It's hard for me to witness all the intolerance that I see, the various divisions that are separating us people, Americans. It's getting harder and harder to compromise. It's harder and harder to reach agreements. As a historian, I've read so many books, so many diaries, so many experiences that I can see that bad things happen, injustice happens, and anything can happen, really, even in this country. The things that we can't imagine can happen, whether it's in a small African village or rural area, city, anything, or an Islamic country where Jews and Christians are frowned upon so greatly, or whether it's a very large population country. It can happen anywhere. It's just that people lose their sensibilities, and we have to be careful to promote Christian love and for us to recognize that we are all people and that we want to have compassion and love spread between the people, the population of this nation. Well, it's an interesting little set of circumstances. No country, no people have ever been perfect. No, not one. And from this day forward, I think the best thing we can do is to show love and compassion and still not lose our own identity. No, we each one of us come from a heritage, and that's good. We should keep our heritage, but also have love and respect for other people. Yep, all people, all countries have had their problems. They've had prejudices, and they've had great injustices. There's been genocides from various segments of lots of populations. I have been close to people who have had stories to tell. Often enough, they were awful stories. Some of them happened long ago, and some of them are in relatively recent years. I know that one of the older stories is about the Trail of Tears and the relocation of other American Indian friends. There's been atrocities. And since then, there's been examples of like the Armenians. There's been the Jews in Nazi Germany. There's been Christians in Islamic countries like Iran, or a number of other countries. And more recently, it's also been among the Hmong in Cambodia and other surrounding countries of Asia. Violence and persecution, they come and go. And they can go anywhere. They can come from anywhere, and they can go to anywhere. It's always different. It's always directed, or it's random. It happens different ways for different situations. So you just be aware of it, take reasonable steps of things that make sense, to do things, to think, to plan, to do, and to take whatever steps are just sensible to do to have reasonable preparedness, because I think of September. September, it's the National Preparedness Month. And I think it's pretty funny. It's a preparedness month, not a preparedness day, and not a preparedness week. It's a National Preparedness Month. So someone must have thought it was a very important concern to have a whole month dedicated to preparedness. So if you think about this, probably your next thought is going to be, well, prepare for what? And that is a question that we just don't have an answer to. There could be lots of answers. There could be one answer. It's whatever you see. I know I think about that Matthew chapter 24, and I think of lots of things are going to happen. When? We don't know. But I know Matthew 24, one of the first things it says is, do not be deceived. Nope, be not deceived. And you could read Matthew chapter 24 and ask yourself, what is it talking about? Well, you be the judge. You read the chapter and you see what is coming. And then you decide what to do. It talks about war, famine, and earthquakes. Yes, how serious will it get? Well, only God knows. But here in California, we see fires and earthquakes are pretty common. So I think it's a reasonable theme to look at. If you look around the rest of the country, you see fires also. You see, Montana has a huge forest fire in it. You see, in our south and in our east, we've had hurricanes. What a problem. Huge problems. They're big. But they're not big enough to be mentioned in the Bible. So what is coming? Ha! I don't know, but it sounds pretty scary to me. Yikes. Whew. Yep, it does. So it's another reason to think about preparedness. What are our most basic needs? Well, I think this is a time I just have to bring up Revelation 12, 1 and 2, because it seems to be applicable now. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Yep. So what do you think? Is this the sign that's going to appear? A lot of people think so, and a few of them are expecting to be raptured when this occurs. We'll see. We'll see. But there's a few people who also see that Revelation 12 sign is that it cannot happen. It won't happen because it's not an exact description. I don't know. You be the judge. You read it and you decide. There's all sorts of people with all sorts of views, and to me, it's interesting to listen to and to look at. There's even an argument that, there's a collapsed star, Nemesis. It is considered to be a twin star to our sun, and that it has all burned out, and it's a collapsed star, so it doesn't give light. It absorbs the light instead of producing light. So that's been in this great big long orbit, not around the sun, but at an oblong angle to it. So along with Nemesis is Nibiru, and it's also called Planet X, that these will be passing between the Earth and the Sun, That's just an argument. I don't think we have anybody who has proof of it, but it's something that's pondered. And the idea is that there will be an eclipse, and an eclipse of the sun, and a body, a celestial body that large, would produce an eclipse of the sun that would last 3 hours. 3 hours, just like the one that occurred when Jesus was crucified in Rome 2,000 years ago. The sun did not shine. Darkness was over the earth for 3 hours. So it's just something that's possible, and it's pretty complex, isn't it? And I don't know the answers, but I think it's interesting to look at. I'm just telling you what some people think and what some people talk about. And I've found out that some people who listen to Christ Today are interested in that kind of what-if information. So I get to tell you about it because I've heard about it. It's been one I've been kind of interested in, but do I believe it? No, but I see it could be true. It's a possibility. And whatever is going to go on, whatever our future holds, it's important to focus on God. God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Whatever else goes on, I mean, that's good to look at, but our focus has to be on God. God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And yes, we have concerns. We have day-to-day living, but not to focus on those, just they're concerns and we have to take care of them. We all have ordinary needs, and a part of that is why I talk about preparedness. It's because things can happen, and we see them all around us in our country, in other countries. And besides that, September, it's our National Preparedness Month. Yeah, I hope you think about it, and I hope you think about getting prepared. Because it's just a good idea. Get prepared. Get a few things for that just-in-case situation. There's a lot of talk now about the grid, how vulnerable it is. That's one of the things we can always pay attention to. What would we do if we had no electricity? Oh, it would change life in the United States. A lot. So one of the things you want to have on hand is batteries and flashlights and a battery-powered radio on hand. Or maybe you have solar power, I don't know. But those things are really good to have. And have lots of, like I said, lots of extra spare batteries. For the things that you would want to have on hand, it's just possible that water would be your most important item. Medicine also might be your most important item. But water is just so very basic, so very important. And I know food is what everyone thinks of. Often people think of, well, rice and beans and rice, and sometimes Spam to go along with it. And yes, that is a good choice. Rice and beans, good choices. But there's some other things that you'll want to have. One of the things could be, for instance, a camp stove to cook it on. If we don't have our normal electricity and gas service, well, we'll need something. We'll need some light. We'll need something to cook it on. And so a propane camp stove and lots of extra propane is a good idea. For your food, you can buy food in 5-gallon buckets. Lots of places have them. 5 gallons of dried or dehydrated or powdered food. And they're the kind that you just add water to sometimes and cook. And one bucket might last, it might have enough food for 4 weeks or maybe for 2 weeks. They're all different. And generally these buckets, they cost $100 to $200 each. And they all pretty much require cooking. So you would want to be eating the foods that you could. Food is important. You need to have bulk food. Often enough, these buckets come with foods like oatmeal or white rice or pudding or powdered scrambled eggs or powdered beverage. They're all good. It's not a whole great big volume of food, but it'll get you by. And if you were to spend a whole lot more than this, you can buy some pretty good meals. You can buy military-type meals ready to eat, and that they're called MREs. Or you can buy dehydrated meals intended for camping. They can be in foil or in thick plastic pouches. They could literally be steak and potatoes with carrots and peas. They're very good, but they are kind of costly. No, they are costly. So somehow you get to figure out what makes sense for you. But having spare food is nothing but good. It's an emergency measure for that just in case, and you will be able to deal with any problem, any emergency better, if you know that you have some things to rely on. And food is one of those things we just so often look towards. Water, I said water before right in the beginning, that is often overlooked, but you sure need that. So my preference for food is whole grains. You can decide for yourself, but I like whole grains because they are a living food. There is wheat and spelt as my favorite. I like beans and rice, white rice too. And I say white rice, you will want white rice because brown rice, it has an oil in it and it doesn't last so long. But white rice, that lasts years and years and years. So what I think of for my supplies is wheat or spelt and beans because they can be planted inside, you can keep planted inside in an inch of dirt. And you get bean sprouts or rice sprouts or wheat sprouts. I said that wrong. There's no rice sprouts for this. But there's wheat, spelt, or bean sprouts. And they're all good to eat. You just water them and in 10 days or 2 weeks you can have wheatgrass or bean sprouts or other things that are just healthy greens. And we all need greens. So, along with these whole wheats, you can also grind your food, so get a wheat grinder. But you can make porridge, you know, a breakfast cereal, or you can make bread. All these things are good. So don't forget your wheat grinder. They often cost between $150 and $250 for a pretty good one. And you'll need to have your cooking items for your foods. And that would include a cast iron pot with a lid, oil, sugar or honey, salt and yeast. And don't forget the flavorings. It's so good to have flavorings and spices. Now, it doesn't take much when you have those plain foods, but you'll want the flavorings. So multivitamins are also a good idea, and so is a propane camp stove with plenty of extra propane. Your whole grains can easily be stored for decades with just a little care. So remember that food has historically been used to control populations. So you'll want to have some on hand so you can have an independence. Again, I remind you to store water. 5-gallon containers are good. 55-gallon plastic food-grade containers or drums, they're good too. Some people dump and refill their water every 1 or 2 or 5 years. So you might want to do that or maybe not. Or maybe you'll want to get your water from a stream and so you will want a water filter. They generally cost between $20 and $250. And as it often goes, the more you pay, the nicer one you have. The more it does. So that's a matter of just something you have to look into for what fits your needs and what fits your budget. But clean water, that just might be your most important item. You can see with the recent hurricanes, water was always an important item. Don't neglect it. And then, remember there's a couple of other considerations for a just-in-case event, and that is get out of debt. That's a big one. If you are in debt, it just makes every sort of difficulty, all the pressures you could imagine. Pay off anything you can. If you only have your home as a payment that you need to make, you're much better off, but just pay off everything you possibly can. And then you'll want to have some cash on hand, even if it's just a little. You'll want to have a little savings, and that savings can be in the form of cash, or a bank account, or tools, or books, even skills. If you have skills, that is worth something, and you also might want some desired items that you can trade for something or another with another person. So have extra personal hygiene items, whatever they are. Everybody has a different orientation. But have a few on hand. Have them in your preparedness area. You will have to have children items for whatever the child needs. It could be a baby needs or a child's needs. All these things are good. Pet needs is another one. And then you could have just regular things that you just might need, like a compass, and a whistle, and a map. Remember the lots of batteries. Batteries are always good. Have an extra knife and a knife sharpener, even two knife sharpeners. That's something that's often overlooked. Well, the other thing that is so important to that just-in-case situation is making alliances, making friendships, making a community. And often enough, a community has to do with people who have a common belief. So if that's possible, do it. And if it's not, then wherever you live, you will want to get along with your neighbors, because they will have things that you don't have, and you will have things that they don't have. Together, you can get through these difficulties much better. If you are really forming a community, you will need more people to be a part of it. It takes at least 15 people, 15 adults at minimum, and maybe 25 and maybe 50 adults is good, because one of the things that if you have a community, you have to be aware of marauders. And so you have to have a night watch person or two. So all these things are something to consider. Now, do I know what is right for you? No, I don't. I just think about these things and I make my understandings available to you. Everyone has their own concerns and their own different needs and the different ideas of what the future holds. And I want you to follow your own ideas. Not anyone else's, not mine. It's just that I present these ideas to help you to think, about what the just-in-case means. And I don't know the answers to these things. It's just that we all come up with different ideas, and together, working together, we can be better off than if we were all separate. So, just to remind you that if you do nothing, your situation will be just like it is today. Your results will be the same. If you do nothing, you will have nothing. So take a few steps. Prepare for whatever you see the problem to be. Take steps right now. Think, plan, and do. And sometimes we can't do everything all at once. Well, really none of us can. But if we do a little bit at a time, a little bit this week and a little bit next week, that seems to be the way we work the best. And it also works best if you have a list. Have your plan and take steps on the plan where you do a little bit each week. And maybe for the big items, it has to be something, a big step every month or every 2 months. Like a wheat grinder, they're not cheap. Or like the certain items of food, they're not cheap. So you make a plan and then you follow through. And if you look around and see the problems that we have in our country, we can see lots of problems. Our economy is looking like it'll be a problem. Certainly, if you listen to some people, we are sure we're going to have a problem. So just take reasonable steps today and anticipate what your future needs just might be. If we have certain problems in the country, we could have prices double or triple real easily. In fact, there's people who have predicted that. One government agency predicted, I can't remember who it was, but they predicted that the food prices would triple in price. I think that was in a 2-year time frame. Nobody knows the answers to this, but they're all possibilities. And so you take steps just to be comfortable and to do things that make sense. We are in a position where we could certainly face problems. So we take steps. There's things going on in the world. There's a certain movement right now called the Belt and the Road. It's the Chinese system where they put a belt to contain and a road to lead to and from. It's interesting. Will the United States be a part of it? We don't know. It just might. So we have things going on, lots of uncertainties. Our money is uncertain. Our economy is uncertain. So I say, do what you can to get prepared. Everybody will prepare differently, and that's good, because then we can help each other. There are lots of unknowns. There's lots of things that make our future questionable, but there's lots we can do. And so we do something continually. And that's what I want to urge you to do, to look at the just-in-case situation, take some steps, be aware of what the possibilities are, and be careful in your day-to-day life. That's one of the things we can always do, is be careful. Oh, I should mention that you can always look up my past shows, and you can get a preparedness pamphlet by sending a self-addressed stamped envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And if there's past broadcasts you'd like to listen to of the show, by all means do. Go to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase, no spaces. I'm always glad to have you listen, and if there's communication you'd like to have with me, that's fine too. But in the meanwhile, I hope that you will walk with God and that God walks with you. Thank you for listening.